I could not stand how my audio sounded when I did interviews. I hated it. Oh, I couldn't stand them. I was hearing how good other shows were in the beginning of my show, and I was hearing how bad the quality of my show sounded was. I was like, okay, I want to get the quality sounding a whole lot better than it does here. And for like the first 6 months, I thought I was going to be Kojak. I thought I was going to yank all my hair out of my head and be bald. So I hunkered down, bought a decent mic, and started to actually say, okay, well, why don't I put my music production skills to use? Because you're learning audio stuff along with it, and have at it. So I did that, and I started to see the quality of the show get better, and I started to see the interest of the show get greater. I was like, oh, there is a marriage. Okay, the better the sound quality, the happier people be wanting to listen to your show. Ah, ding! It's as if the listener actually listens to my stuff and say, okay, he actually puts the work and time into wanting to sound good. I'm going to put in and invest the time to listen to him because this sounds great.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 98, with the host of Cool Sports, Cole Johnson.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Thanks for dropping in. Hope you're having a great week. Lots of things going on over here. Didn't know if I was actually going to have time to get the podcast out this week, but here you are, you're listening, and that means I did. So I'm your host, JC Preston, founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping people create their own personal freedom. And of course, this podcast is released each Thursday, where we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. Now, in today's session, we have a fellow podcaster who you'd think is a totally humble dude on the outside. If you were to see Cole, you'd be like, that guy's probably chill. But man, when you break into a passion of his, like podcasting, the conversation gets going. His name is, again, Cole Johnson. And recently I had the opportunity to be a guest on his podcast, which is called Cole Sports. And that's with a Z for those of you in Canada and in Europe. Might be a Zed, but as you'll find out, I originally met Cole in the Podcast Discovery Center, like I did with several other podcasters that I've had on the show. Frankly, if you're a podcaster or want to be one, you know, this is a great group for you to check out. You know, I've had both of the founders on the show, Anthony Hayes and Scott Doucette, as well as a few other members. And in today's session, Cole and I dive pretty deep into who he is, his show, how he got started with PDC, and what possessed him to even start his own show. And you know, it seems that the more of these solo sessions that I do, the more I'm becoming comfortable just hanging out with people. Because that's what this session felt like when I was editing it. I was just riffing with Cole, and you know, it's just two podcasters having a good conversation about the life and our art of podcasting. More specifically, some of the things we discuss in this session are how he knew it was time to do his own thing, how it works when you have two creatives married to each other, which his wife is actually a big creative herself, what his show is about, and if he's been able to leverage living in Nashville, Tennessee to get some of the guests from around there on his show. And finally, some of the things that grinds his gears when it comes to new podcasters. Yeah, we're looking at you beginners. Anyway, I think this is a good time for me to bring up our friends over at Fizzle once again. And you know, most of the stuff that I learned about podcasting, I learned from two places. One was Pat Flynn's tutorial, and the other was Fizzle. There are two courses in Fizzle that are huge, huge, and really well done, in my opinion. One is about the basics by Caleb Wozniak. I think I said that right. When he was part of their staff, and Caleb is now the lead technical video guy helping Pat Flynn with all of his new live video work. And the other course is put together by John Lee Dumas. Yeah, that John Lee Dumas and Fizzle's Chase Reeves. Now, I know that Pat just came out with his course on podcasting, and frankly, if you have the budget to buy into that one, I'd go do that course. There's a lot of great stuff in there, and it's meant specifically for beginners who have not launched their own podcast yet. But if you've already launched your podcast and you want to make it better and you want to kind of, you know, change some things, little minor things, or if you're just, you know, you just don't have the big of a budget to the buy Pat's course, you should definitely check out the two courses in Fizzle among all the other great courses that they have in there. I mean, there's beginner courses all the way up to scaling your business. And some of those titles include defining your audience, productivity essentials, essentials of booking yourself solid, telling your story from elevator pitch to tagline, launching, winning insights with customer conversations. That's a good one. And then Pat also has a course over there called Affiliate Marketing the Smart Way. And then there's also another one that I wanted to bring up by Scott Densmore, who, you know, he was the founder of Live Your Legend. The course that he started or made over there was called Connect With Anyone, and is a very, very valuable course. And there's plenty of others like it. So here's the deal, guys. If you want to go to the next step and go deeper and start your own journey, you don't have to do it alone. You can be part of a membership community that won't let you quit. And that's Fizzle. All right. Maybe you want to go faster, have more guidance, or have access to training courses. You know, it's all available there, and it only costs around $1 a day. And you can try it out today for 5 weeks free by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. And again, that's newinceptions.com/FIZZLE. All right. newinceptions.com/fizzle. So that said, I also want to take time to make a bit of an announcement here before we get started in the conversation. There's been a big rise in numbers of downloads of the show recently, and I really don't know what the major pull is. So let me know what you guys like about the show. I honestly don't know, but I feel I need to know so that I can keep, you know, bringing you what you like without changing too much stuff around after I go past session 100. So that's what I'm thinking, is that after session 100, I'm going to start reading reviews of the show on iTunes. And it's going to be right here, just like you might have heard on other shows in this specific genre. Now, it's not hard to leave a review. If you're, you know, on your iPhone, all you have to do is hit the review tab and, you know, just let us know what you like about the show. And if you're listening on another platform, you can leave a message there as well. But when I see these reviews, I'm going to read them in this part of the show. So that's all I wanted to say. There you go. Anyway, as usual, show notes and show note video extras can be found at newinceptions.com/98. Video extras are nothing new. I used to call them show note extras, but I'm going to still continue to call them show note extras, but they are video extras. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here with another solo session coming to you today. And today's guest is a guy that I believe is going places in the podcasting world. Just let me know that he actually has two podcasts going on now. So, you know, his voice is going to be out there a little bit more so than it has been. But, you know, he's been a mentor to many other podcasters and is one of the top citizens and contributors to the group that I've spoken about several times, called the Podcast Discovery Center, which if you're interested about the group, you can check it out with Scott Doucette, which was session number 80. But yeah, this podcasting life is all natural to him because he also has a background in radio and media, and like many other podcasters do. And, you know, he's just decided to roll with it and make it his own thing. But when he's not hitting the airwaves, you can find Cole as a digital content producer with his wife, Michelle Price Johnson. And they live in the Nashville, Tennessee area. So, Cole, welcome to the show. How are you doing today, man?
Well, thank you for having me on your show. And I'm doing really good. And I'm doing great now with that introduction. Doing wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome. Really appreciate you having you on today. And normally this is the point in the show that, you know, I dive deep right up front and figure out where you've gotten to where you are now and why you've chosen the work that you do today. And, you know, I don't see that particularly changing for this session. But I got to say, as I was doing the research for the show, the more I dug, the more questions I had about who you were and where you're coming from. And, you know, I know you engage with a ton of folks on the PDC, but I had no idea that your day job, you're a digital content producer, very similar to what I'm doing. So, you know, definitely wanted to get to know more about that. I also saw that you spent some time in the military as well. So I can see why you and Chris Ripka hit it off so well. So let's start there. What was the calling for you to get into the Army?
Well, for me, I would hear a whole ton of stories from my father about his Navy days. And when I got older, he did talk about some of those times with a little reticence. But when I was younger, he talked about those times really with a lot of energy and fun, as if he learned a lot of who he became after that there. And to give you a slight background on my father, he was in the Navy for 7 years, and he said he did about 50 sailing trips in that span. So, I mean, he talked about so many stories, and I mean, it ranged from, you know, from what he did, you know, as a sailor, to what they did when they were docked on shore, and what they, you know, and all points in between, and even family life then as well. So I enjoyed it. And, you know, I do have an affinity for the country. I do like to see, you know, the country do well, and I like to defend or honor. So I have no issue with that at all either. You know, so, you know, those things, you know, spurred me on to actually join. And I mean, I had a good time while I was there. But, you know, when you join something, it's not quite exactly the way you want it, and you have other things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. That pretty much is how I felt when I was in the military. It was like, okay, I mean, it's not all it's cracked up to be. I'm learning a lot about myself, but man, I know I'm destined to do something more and something else. So my time was brief. It was only 2 years, but even in that 2 year span, I learned a lot about myself and learned a lot about being a soldier, and I learned a lot about the world itself. So it was a good time for me to learn. And I really can't take those 2 years back. I wouldn't want to.
What was your MOS during those 2 years?
Yeah. 83 Echo. And I'm surprised that you actually know that. I know why you do, because it's been almost about 10 years since I've heard that acronym. Yeah, 83 Echo. I don't think it's in effect now. I think they merged into another MOS, but it was photolithography. Basically, what we would do is we would take what the 81 Quebec sector would do, which they were surveyors. Mm-hmm. So they would go out and they'll survey whatever land that they were looking at. They would take pictures, and then they would give us negatives. And then we would actually have to develop those negatives, and then turn that into a plate, and then we would send it to the 83 Foxtrot, which they are printers. So, so that's really that was really the job that I did. And it was interesting. Okay. It really was.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of, I was kind of curious as to how you got into media, because, you know, going back to Chris's story,
you know, he had one, basically one radio / communication opportunity right after the next, and, you know, eventually landed him to where he is now. How did you get into media after being a surveyor? I mean, that doesn't necessarily transition too well. What where were you like, oh, I should go into this? What was that mindset or that shift like?
Well, unlike Chris, and wow, his story is absolutely wonderful. I didn't really get into all things media. If I were to actually do a timeline from when I was in the military, I didn't get into media in general for probably a 14-year span after I left the military. And it was all due to the fact that a lot of people kept saying, wow, Cole, you have a voice. You really, you know, you need to do commercials or you need to do narrations for things. And you have to understand, when someone says this to a person who can't stand his voice, I'm looking at them like they have a third eye on their head. I'm like, no, I don't have a voice for this, man. I can't stand my voice. It's like hearing nails going down a chalkboard. No. But I started to actually be a music producer. So I you know, produced music, and also I sang as well. So I got a chance to listen to my own voice, and I it was to the point of, okay, I like it when I sing, but I don't really like it when I speak. It still grates my nerves. So,
wow.
So I picked up on a lot of the skills that I know now. And about a few years after that, I landed a job at a news station, and I picked up more engineering and more production skills. And then I graduated to actually doing my own podcast, which then I started to actually listen to my own voice, almost to the point where I wanted to vomit, but ended up liking it. So
you kind of have an out-of-body experience, though, when you start getting used to your own voice.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. You know, that's at least that's what I accustom it to, because you still have the voice that you're used to in your head.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you're editing, it's like, oh, it's that guy, the professional guy that I get to edit for.
Right.
You know, after a while, that's what it feels like for me anyway.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah. Go ahead.
No, and the same for me, because it's now to the point where I'm breaking it down. I'm like, okay, I like how I sounded here. This is nice. I want to actually remember that. All right. Say this whenever I have a subject matter like this again. Or I try something new, I'm like, oh no, never trying that again. No, Whereas if this was about maybe 2-3 years ago, I would say, oh gosh, I can't stand even my saying, hey, how are you doing? Oh no, I was like, no, I'd run for the hills.
So do you listen to your own shows every once in a while, or how does that work? I mean, see, what I do, my process is that I will almost, so I'll have the editing ear. So I'll run through it and cut out the parts that I don't like, and, you know, make it, you know, actually make sense. Whereas then I'll be out and about, and then I'll just pop it in, you know, just a recent one, just to kind of see, does it make sense? Does the conversation move like I, you know, wanted it to when I was editing, all those different kinds of things. Do you do any of that kind of post work or what?
Well, I do. And this sounds absolutely vain, but I actually do listen to my show as a fan, because I want to hear,
nice.
Yeah, because I want to hear what other people are going to hear. And if it sounds right, then it's great. And if it doesn't sound right, I'll be the first to say, okay, yeah, that was hot garbage. I can go back to the lab and tweak it. You know,
right.
So my wife actually says that I'm in love with my voice. So there you go.
Well, and you know, that's just the thing. Like, we were talking before the show that, like, I hate having bad audio, because for so long, and you guys can go back into the archive, it's all there, because, and it's all about the learning curve. But, and someday I might go back and remaster it, but at the same time, it's like, see, people, this is what you have to go through if you're going to create something. There's always going to be this curve. So, you know, I kind of have that mixed emotions of whether or not I want to go back and remaster. But there was a space through, I would definitely say the session like 30 through, oh, say maybe the last part of the 50s where I was struggling like super hardcore with my sounds, and like the different people were at different levels, right? Oh, and man. It was just like, I would be like very faint back here like this, and then someone would be very loud like this, and I'm like, how do I take care of that? And it's just so annoying. And then, you know, I talked to Cody, and he's like, oh yeah, you need to do this. And then I also got some verification through one of the Fizzle leaders, and he was like, oh yeah, do this, and then do this. So he basically is like, raise this one up to where you kind of sounds medium, and then bring this other one down to where it sounds medium or about the same. And then you want to add another thing at the end that pretty much normalizes them to both, to make sure that they're both being normalized to a certain level. So yeah, you know, another learning curve, but
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of podcasters who have a podcast because they enjoy everything that goes into it, just like we're talking about. And, you know, but they have a message or a passion about something, and they want to be heard about that.
Right.
You know, others use it as more of a networking tool to simply get to know people and find out where they're about, or find out what other people are about. And while, yeah, others use it as part of their content strategy and promoting other work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that those are the types of people that don't listen to their show, by the way, just kind of a rant of mine. but I think that you're kind of a combination of all three of these. Like, you're the artist, but you're also using it to network with people, and you're using it to kind of get your work out there. When did you know it was time to step out and start doing your own thing, part of which, again, is hosting the Cole Sports Show?
Now, see, this is really interesting. Now, when I first got married to my wife, I had this itch, but I didn't quite know how to fully scratch it. Now, to give you a slight background on my wife, she has been involved in communications all of her adult life, so you can talk to her about anything communications. She's all about that. So here she was one day, she was mixing her show, and she doesn't do it now anymore, but she was mixing her show, and she had this bright idea. And so she said, hey, babe, come here for a second. I got something for you. side note, when your wife says that to you, prepare for something catastrophic to happen. Right, so I tippy-toe there and brace for the worst. And she says, you know what? I want to put something to good use. You have a wonderful voice. You love sports. You follow it all the time. You need to make that a useful tool and make it productive. So I have 2 minutes on my show. Why don't you create a segment for it? You can talk about anything in sports. And go. what you want me to talk about? LeBron James, National Predators, Kobe Bryant, what NFL playoffs, what? No topic? No, baby, you could talk about anything you like. Oh, and you have 30 minutes to conceptualize the segment. And your time starts now. I'm like, oh boy, okay, fine. So I spent that 30 minutes, I conceptualized the segment. To this day, I cannot remember what that segment was about. I know it was something related to the playoffs in the NFL, because I think it was a wild card weekend around that time, because it was January. Mm-hmm. And so I went through the segment, and everything seemed to be fine. And then I ended it by saying, I'm Cole Johnson, and this is Cole Sports. My wife's.
So that's where that came from.
That's okay. Where it came from. And it just was, it just was that organic. And my wife's eyes bucked. I don't think I've seen her eyes that wide ever since. She said, oh my gosh. Yes. That hook is money. That hook is gold. In fact, that hook is the name of your show. I'm like, no. I said, people going to listen to that people are going to see that name. They're going to think that I'm being vain. No, I didn't want to name a show after me. She says, no, you should name a show. You should name a show after it. I mean, the hook is there. I'm like, and then she, you know, grilled me. She's like, what did you do? Where'd you find that hook? How'd you know how to do it? I was like, well, it's just natural. I've heard that with other people. But she said, yeah, that's money. And so I've done that ever since I started the show. And she was right. I mean, when people listen back to me, they always chuckle like you did whenever I do that. So I'm like, oh, okay, I must be onto something. And really, that's where Cold Sports was born.
Gotcha. So Michelle, she has a lot of things going on herself. And recently she received a leadership award from the Wall Street Journal and Capella University. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about how you guys complement each other, because it's not every day that you'll find the creative married to another creative.
No, it's not. And I think here's where I believe we find the creative balance, because for a while it was a little difficult from the standpoint of, okay, what is your creative space and what is my creative space, and how does that not clash, and how can that mesh? And for a while it was clashing, because it's like what you said, you have a creative going with another creative. One creative has a vision and a direction that they want to go, and the other creative has a different vision they want to go down. So what I had to learn was, okay, what is her strengths? What is her skill set? Well, she has a great voice. I mean, she can get behind the mic and blow us all away, but she doesn't like being on the mic. She actually likes being on the other side. She likes being the puppet master. She actually likes to create shows and produce shows. That's what she likes to do. Hmm. You know, so I was like, okay. So I know what to do. Okay. So I use her sort of as a learning tree and an understanding as to, okay, you have an understanding as to what a fan would like to hear, and you have an understanding as what you would like to hear. Let's marry the two. And when you hear my stuff, how does it sound to you? Because I know if it sounds really good to you, it's going to sound really good to the average person. Now, from my understanding of her, knowing that she actually likes to create from scratch things, she likes to build. You know, I'm on the other hand, I like to build, but I like to build certain things. And I actually have enjoyed being on the mic. I actually like speaking. And the funny thing is, you would think that it would be more along the lines of, okay, well, hey, I can host and don't worry about that. I can just send this off to you and you can produce it. That's not her lane. She can create. You know, I'm the type that loves to be in that minutia. I love to dive into it and tweak it and say, okay, well, no, man. Okay, I clip too much here. Man, I sound almost as if I am on a deserted island here and the boat is like 200 miles away. I'm more in the minutia of, I want it to sound right. You know, she's more into the minutia of a bigger picture type of thing. So in understanding that and in marrying those two, it really has been a perfect marriage, even the creative heaven between us, because we took the time to learn what it is we like to do best. And we've learned a little bit off the other. And it's been great. It has been an eye-opening experience, really, for me.
What are some of the struggles that you've actually gone through as you've been getting your show and off the ground? And
well, some of those struggles have been, and you detailed a couple of them earlier in the show. I could not stand how my audio sounded when I did interviews. I hated it. Oh, I couldn't stand them. It was getting on my nerves. So that was one big issue that I had. Mm-hmm. And going and rewinding a little, one of the other issues I had was I was hearing how good other shows were in the beginning of my show, and I was hearing how bad the quality of my show sounded was, it's like, okay, I want to get the quality sounding a whole lot better than it does here. And I actually had someone, Tim Wolberg, listen to my show. I think it was back in April of last year. And he said, man, your voice is great. Your content's wonderful. I mean, I can't really say anything bad about your show except your sonic quality. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to fix that. And for like the first 6 months, I thought I was going to be Kojak. I thought I was going to yank all my hair out of my head and be bald. So I hunkered down, bought a decent mic, and started to actually say, okay, well, why don't I put my music production skills to use? Because you're learning audio stuff along with it, and have at it. So I did that, and I started to see the quality of the show get better, and I started to see the interest of the show get greater. I was like, oh, there is a marriage. Okay, the better the sound quality, the happier people be wanting to listen to your show. Ah, ding! So when I learned that about my show in general, I said, okay, well, now let me get the sound quality down. And I finally got it down to where I wanted it. And then when I started to do interviews, I had the same type of vigor in wanting to get the sound quality of my interviews to be of stellar quality too. And it took a good while. And I finally got it now, but it took a while. And those actually have been the biggest impediments to and struggles to the growth of my show. And once I got that down, it seems to actually have gotten better. It seems like it's alleviated a lot of things. It's as if the listener actually listens to my stuff and say, okay, he actually puts the work and time into wanting to sound good. I'm going to put in and invest the time to listen to him because this sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you realize that, speaking of things sounding good versus great versus, could use some work. Facebook Live now does audio.
Mm-hmm.
There are, if you were to go on your phone, which is the sad part, if you were to go on your phone, unless you have like an iPhone 7, again, Cody Voice for the win, you know, he showed us all how to flip it on its side. If you have an iPhone 7, you can actually use it as a pretty decent mic.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that like Facebook just wants content. They don't necessarily are looking for the greatest of content. And I'm interested, and I don't know, I haven't stumbled onto it quite yet, but I'm sure there's a way to patch in audio from your mic here to, you know, your XLR analog thing to your Facebook. And I don't know how, what that is yet, but definitely, interested, because now that I actually saw yesterday that one of my people that I know here in town, he's doing regular audio snippets as kind of his own little podcast on his page, and it's like, huh, well, I guess that's the thing now. So yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
So up front, it sounds like your show again is all about sports, and however, I've realized that you've danced around on other topics as well. And I know when I was on the show, we talked about a number of things from sports to entrepreneurship. And so I, you know, first off, tell me about the different rundown of the different parts of your show. And two, does living in Nashville help you at all with getting guests or anybody or topics? And why did you move from Texas to Nashville? And is it related?
Okay. Oh, I will definitely... Let me address that last question first. Now, I was born in New Orleans. I moved to Houston when I was 2 months of age. So I don't really consider myself a New Orleanian. I consider myself a Houstonian. and if you want to question that, just mention the 1992 AFC wildcard game and you will see my reaction and you'll know that I am a Houstonian. Or the 1994 NBA Finals. You mentioned those two things. I could definitely tell you exactly why I'm Houstonian. So I love being Houstonian, but I moved to Nashville because really my wife and I visited the place when we were courting one another, actually when we were engaged. And I fell in love with the city the moment I actually drove into it. And I just envisioned wanting something different, wanting something vibrant. And it's now been almost 7 years, and I really enjoy the move. It's been great. It's been great for my soul, been great for my spirit, and I've met some really good people here. You know, it's been great. Now, does the show help me? Does the city help me get guests for the show? Not yet. And I say not yet because I purposely have not tried to actually search for Nashville guests, because I actually wanted to, you know, be all over the globe, if not necessarily the country. Mm-hmm. You know, and never really have concentrated on the city. Now, the way I have my show, I will definitely do that. And you actually brought forth to me something that I'm going to be doing, which is I'm going to concentrate a little more on finding Nashville guests. You know, because this city has a lot of good flavor. Like you can, like I could attest when I interviewed you, how Indianapolis is just bussing with a lot of flavor that most people who don't live in Naptown, as I've heard it be called, wouldn't know.
Yes.
You know,
right.
You know, it's an evolved city. I knew it was evolved, but it's more evolved than I even thought. You know, so mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I would be a fool to not capture the flavor of the city, you know. And oh gosh, I am so sorry. What was the first question of that triumvirate?
And last one was rundown of the different parts of your current show.
Good. All right, so it took a while to get down how I wanted my show to sound, exactly the way I wanted it to sound from a content end. Because when I began the show, it was no music, no mixing. It was just me on a mic speaking. And I figured, hey, my wife said that I could speak. Fine, I can do that. So I pressed record, did that. And I hit stop. I looked at the time and said 1 hour, 54 minutes, 6 seconds. I said, okay, we're going to do two things right off the bat. One, we're not going to ever have a show that long with just me ever again in life. And two, I don't care if I'm doing interviews or if I'm doing solo, I'm going to plot and plan every single show without fail. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
And so the work started to happen then. I immediately trimmed it down to an hour, and then and my show started around January of last year. So I immediately trimmed the 2 hour show down to an hour. When I got to around February, I trimmed it down to about 50 minutes. When I got to March of that year, I trimmed it down to 40. And when I got to April of that year, I trimmed it down to 30. And I've been comfortable doing 2 30-minute shows. Now, I have a weekday show and a weekend show. And the weekday show is, well, no matter what show I do, the first segment is just full of headlines, which is, you know, 4 or 5 topics in sports that I think is going to be interesting to people, and definitely is interesting to me, and I just talk about it, and I may give it like a minute of each time. The weekday show is probably a topic that is meaty enough to where I could talk about it for about 5 to 8 minutes, and sort of is like an editorial, but it's not a hard hitting piece. And the weekend portion of the show is Dolt of the Week. The segment that for some reason everybody seems to like whenever I mention the show to them and they hear it. I don't know why. But I guess it's because I put forth the clown in me mostly on that segment. I will do skits. I will do bits where I probably wouldn't say anything in any other area of my show. I'll definitely save it for there. And then the last segment, which I actually love the most, is Upon Further Review. And it's sort of the ode for me of all the sportscasters that I have respected in actually respecting the genre as an intellectual art form. You know, guys like Greg Gumbel, guys like Brian Gumbel, guys like Frank DeFord. guys like Rick Riley, guys like Steve Burwell, you know, intellectual thinking guys who, when you on ear hear them, you ask yourself, why the heck are they interested in sports? I mean, I would think they want to talk about politics or something. They don't sound like a sports guy. They're not Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
You know, right. They don't bark. They don't just scream out their take. They actually are intellectual. And when I was young, I gravitated to it and loved it. And when I became of age, I said, okay, if I were to do a sports anything, I'd want to do something of that vein. And with that segment, that's what I do. And I take any sports topic, and if it has any hint of anything other than sports, I will gravitate to it. For example, Colin Kaepernick. I mean, that's an interesting subject. I've talked about him on Apart for the Review and broke down why he's important to sports in general, and not just the country in large, but just in general, why he's important, whether I agree with his stance or not. Why is it important? And another, in fact, in a recent show, I talked about now Panthers offensive tackle Michael Orr having an Instagram picture of taking 10 pills all for his brain. And how, as much as I love football, it really is an interesting commentary and unsettling one when you actually have to understand that, wow, it takes this to actually cope with possible concussions, other head trauma that isn't really linked to concussions, but it's linked to a whole ton of head damage. Because, you know, that the position of the offensive lineman or defensive lineman, they are clashing with another human being at least 60 times a game, you know. So I talk about those type of subject matters because I really believe the sports fan actually doesn't want their intelligence insulted, because I don't. And I've talked with you. I know you don't either, you know. So that's really, I guess you could say, the rundown of my show. I like to introduce it in a way that it appeals to. It does appeal to the fantasy sports crowd. It does appeal to the angry guy that's like, you know what? You guys are bums. I can't stand you guys. You're treating me like you treat me like horse manure. You can't believe, I can't believe the stuff you're doing. You know, the real passionate sports guy who just is all about four letter words. But of course, I don't say four letter words. And then, of course, the intellectual as well. You know, I try to actually make that into one good sonic sandwich for the sports fan.
I have likened your voice to Chuck Nice, and one of the he's just recently started his own sports show called Playing with Science, part of the Star Talk Network. Have you had a chance to hear that show yet?
I heard a little bit of that, and I did not know that, actually, until you actually introduced me to him in that vein, I did not know that he was a sports fan. And I knew he was a comedian. I knew he was a comedian, and I knew he was a metalhead, because every time I saw him, he actually talked about a lot of groups that he listened to when he grew up, and most of them were heavy metal bands. So I knew he had a different flavor, and I think, as you know, with my show, I love different flavor. Because here's another thing about my show. With music bumps that I play hip hop music and I play heavy metal music. And in the Pump for the Review segments under it, the music bed, mostly is jazz, maybe with some classical music along with it. So anybody with diversity, I embrace. So when you talk about Chuck Nice, I was like, yeah, I love this dude because he's a different type of cat. And then when I found out that he was a sports fan too, I'm like, oh, cool. And another reason why, yeah. I like him. Yeah.
Yeah. He was, they were recently doing one of, and every once in a while on Star Talk, one of their shows will pop over. And they were talking to one of the guys from the NFL who gets people ready for the combine. And it was really interesting. Like, I had no idea that between, you know, a player leaving college to get ready for the combine, what that entire process is like. And
holy, I mean, you know, you're talking about the issues with the head. I mean, this guy was talking about joints and how they can, you know, the difference between 6 and 8 weeks. And it's just, yeah, it's just really interesting how deep and scientific sports can be. So, oh yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, if someone wants to, you know, definitely your show and definitely check out that one as well. So, but yeah, one of the things that we've been kind of alluding to throughout the show here is that you're actually into podcast production now amongst the other members of the PDC. And again, it makes sense since, you know, background is kind of media and doing one thing after another. And, you know, what are some key things that you've heard on shows that are just, you're kind of like, yeah, no, stop that now, please. That hurts my ears. And then on the other hand, what are some tips that, you know, that you'd definitely give some beginner podcasts?
Oh my gosh. Okay. The grit my nerve section. Let me see. Let me think. Cause that's really a good question. One piece of advice that I've heard that I actually had to learn later in my own development that I didn't like was, if you want to actually do your show right, don't overproduce it, because it can sound bad if you overproduce your show. And there's some out there who actually would like to overproduce shows, and I can sonically explain it to you. I think you already know yourself, JC, but you get a show and it sounds as though it sounds as though you're caught in this space time continuum and it doesn't even sound human. It sounds as though it's coming from an auto-tune type of filter on your voice.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, and you know, and I got to say that there's some people that could definitely use some speaking, just very basic speaking, courses.
Right.
And it's just that, it's just like, yeah, that whole monotone thing.
Yeah.
It's like, and oh, holy crap, how people will continue on with a thought of theirs by using but and and it's like, okay, dude, I'm trying to, like, even on the guest side, sometimes it's like, I'm trying to like snippet a quote right from someone.
Oh no.
And it's just like, but they just keep going and going and going. And it's just like, can you please stop?
Oh my. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. And sitting on this end, I could definitely tell you, be a great host. I don't care what people tell you. You can have the greatest person engineer and produce your stuff, but you got to be a great host. And part of that is that exactly what Jay-Z said. It's, you know, not having those words of or so. You don't say that all the time.
So I mean, you can say it, and I try to limit my use of saying it. But even the, you know, and the thing is if you listen to people that are on the radio for 3 hours a day, mm-hmm. you know, you'll yeah. hear that they actually use those normal phrases because that's how people talk. That's how people communicate.
Right.
If you don't use those, you don't sound natural. Period.
Right.
So. It's perfectly okay to have that transition in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just who you are.
Right.
But if you do it too much,
yeah.
then it's like, okay, well, for one, he sounds like an amateur. And if you don't do it at all, mm-hmm. you either come across as someone that's too polished. Mm-hmm. I think this is what you're alluding to.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. I think you can definitely go to an extremes in both directions.
Oh, yeah, you definitely could. Oh, no question. No question you can go in extremes. And that's the thing, you know, there's many out here who seem to not think that there is an audience listening to them. And you somewhat alluded to it earlier. You got these people who just want to speak like this, and they really could give a crap if there's anyone listening. 15 seconds later, you want to check out on them. I mean, act as though you actually love what you're talking about. Please.
Right.
Because I have.
Or the Valley people.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? I'm guilty of that sometimes myself too, but seriously, it's like, you know what I'm saying? No, I don't. Stop.
Right. No, really, I don't. Like what? What am I supposed to like? As a listener, I almost get to snobbish stage just because of that. You know, let me think of another one. There's people who don't tell you that your voice is the star, and you think that you're putting forth something audio to people, and they seem to want to push everything else but their voice. And you have to let your voice shine. I mean, you just have to let it shine. And yeah, practice doing what you want to say. And also, yeah, take some courses, because let's be completely forthright here. Being on the mic is an art. Mm-hmm. It is an art. And if you don't think it's an art, listen to all these shows that get millions of downloads every time they release a show. Listen intently to how they speak. It's an art. It is an absolute art. And if you don't want to treat it as an art, you will be disregarded. It's just that simple.
Compare your typical video from Facebook. I don't care if they have 5,000 followers, 10,000 followers in a big group, a mega group or whatever, to Lewis Howes and what he sounds like on his show, for example. I mean, it's just, there's just a polish of, wow. I mean, it's just, and it's just, there are certain podcasts that are out there that, yeah, I mean, you can just tell that they've put money into their equipment.
Yeah.
And they care about what they sound like, and they want to make sure that their equipment captures what they sound like versus, you know, all these videos where you have people just using iPhone earpieces with a mic that's built on, and it basically, you know, it can sound very quiet like this again, or very, you know, it's just like, stop it. I mean, if people are going to take you seriously, invest in how you're communicating to them.
100%. You got to. That's part of why I actually listen back on my show, because I care about my product. I want to actually give the listener an experience where they're satisfied in listening with what I have to say. And if I'm not satisfied with it, then I know you wouldn't be. So that's why I listen to my stuff. Another tip that I can give. Look, do not be afraid to create. Do not be afraid to actually try something new, because it actually gives a new energy to your show. For example, I have no issue poking fun at myself. No issue at all. In fact, there are segments from time to time that, with sports, of course, you have the prediction understanding of the side of the genre. So I was totally wrong when the Falcons were marching through in their playoffs. So, of course, they had the number one seed in the NFC, and they played the Seahawks in the divisional round. I said the Seahawks would win, and the Falcons trounced them. I did a segment immediately after that, filtering myself in another voice, just poking fun at myself. So then I thought, well, hey, I guess I wouldn't learn my lesson. I picked the Packers over the Falcons when they advanced to the NFC Championship game, and the Packers got trounced. And then I poked fun at myself again. You know, so.
and you could have almost gone with that had they not screwed up, you know, just stopped being the Falcons in the last quarter.
Right.
In the Super Bowl. Because, yeah, it's just like, yeah, I mean, they were on fire last year.
And they were.
Yeah.
And I did pick the Patriots. So.
Well, there you go. There you go.
And so what I had planned on that show was that if if the Falcons won the Super Bowl, I actually was going to have plan two segments where, and I do it in sort of like a breaking news in news fashion. Like I'm talking about a subject matter, it could be like, for example, so man, did you see how Matt Ryan was, man? He was just blazing. He was just on fire. And then I would have another track underneath say, hit it. And then music leading into the segment. And I'd probably do something like Man Up, sponsored by nobody. But we know Cole is about to get this verbal butt whooping. And then I would trash myself for the next 5-6 minutes. So, don't be afraid to create. I didn't think that would go off well, but it goes off so beautifully. And when you hear how shows are creative, it gives a whole new life to your show. So don't be stuck in just wanting to just press record and speak and be good at speaking and then press stop and think, okay, well, that's good. No, try something else. Throw something on the creation wall. See if it sticks. And there's been some things I've done that didn't stick. But you know what? You're like, okay, well, I tried it. Didn't quite work. Fine. No problem. Go back to the drawing board.
Well, and I have to also say that, at least one of the biggest things of great pieces of advice that I've heard is the first 100 episodes are all practice anyway. That gives you freedom to actually experiment for 100 episodes. And even once you get into that habit of experimenting or trying things out, which again, for me, it was, 20 sessions of why isn't things working the way that I want them to when it's, audibly. You need that. You really do. And now I'm starting to play around a little bit with the format and making sure everything sounds good, mm-hmm. true, but also, how I'm talking with a guest and, mm-hmm. Just little pieces here and there. So,
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that advice because I can honestly say to you, I really wasn't a big fan of my show in terms of all of its package. I mean, others, including my wife, was a bigger fan of my show than I was for that 100 episode span. Now I'm past 100 episodes, and it actually took, which is so funny, because the 100th episode was the birthday of my show. And that actually was the show I actually started to say, I really have something, and I love how I create the something. So I love that advice. Yeah. And I can definitely spin that to, tweak your show. Find the space that you need to make it sound good, but don't beat yourself up and down because it doesn't sound the way you want it to sound. That was my issue because for the first 6 months, I was just torturing myself. So I was like, man, this is good, but it can sound better. Man, this is good, but it can sound better. I kept saying that every single show. And I kept scratching my head saying, well, why is it that people saying it's a good show, but I don't think it's really a good show. I mean, I spend time with the content of it, but I mean, that's what I do. I actually spend time speaking, which I love, and people say I have a good voice, but the quality of the sound, no. What are they hearing? Right. Are they just listening past that? It's garbage. This is why I was saying to myself, I was like, okay, well, let me take care of that so I can actually be satisfied with it. Now I can say I actually like the show. But awesome. But yeah, don't tear down your show because it doesn't quite sound the way it wants to sound. Let it organically grow because it will. You keep at it, you keep at it, keep at it. And I will definitely say this for any podcaster that's a beginner and you haven't hit the record button for the first time, do it. Hit the record button, record yourself. Because I didn't speak on a mic. I didn't speak into a computer when I started my show. I started the show on a Bluetooth headset and a smartphone. That's how I started. And that's how I recorded my show for the first 6 months. I recorded on a Bluetooth headset and a smartphone. So if you don't have the equipment, that's not an excuse. If you have the voice and the passion to speak, do it. And then, and then you'll grow and get better as time goes on.
And as Ira Glass alludes to in his The Gap short video that I've actually put in the show notes several times, and I'll put it again here. Yeah, you got to mind that gap, because there's a point where you have this your own specific taste of how something should be, and then your ability to create what you think is tasteful.
Beautiful.
And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
Is that the difference between what you can produce, where you're trying to take whatever you're trying to produce. So
some fine wine advice there.
Yeah. Right. So tell me about this new show of yours.
Okay.
You know, you're kind of alluding to that you're starting something else, and kind of curious about what you're up to.
Yes, I am. And I'll even say that you're the very first to hear about this. So I did interviews on Cold Sports, and you alluded to it earlier on the show, where I was interviewing guests and I was talking about stuff outside of sports, which I, one, have no issue doing. Two, love doing it. Three, was learning a lot about myself while I was doing these interviews. And yes, present company included. You know, so I was doing these things for about 3 months, and I said, it's good. I love the reaction I'm getting, but I think this needs a platform all its own. And I think it needs a deeper meaning in the platform, because I can get sports fans. That's great. And I can create an interview with anybody who isn't a sports fan for my show. And I could just ask, well, hey, you have any sports interests? Does your husband or your wife, because yes, there's men who don't like sports, who's a sports fan, or is there anyone that's in your family who plays? I mean, I could find a way to interject sports into the conversation with anybody. But what I understood in these last sets of interviews that I did for Cold Sports was that I need to have a bigger platform, and I need to have it to where I can talk to others who wouldn't be afraid to talk to me now, because they would be under the impression that, okay, we're going to be talking about sports. I have no clue about sports. Now I would have a show where that wouldn't be an excuse. So after the 3 months of tweaking, and because I was having that issue with my interview shows too, because I wanted the interview show to sound right. So after tweaking and tweaking and tweaking the sound to where I finally got it down, and I finally have it pat, and I finally have the production of it right, I am introducing a new interview-only podcast. It is called Revelations. And the reason of the show is because I want to learn more about people. And when I learn more about people, I'm learning more about myself. And the journey of a conversation or a journey of an interview is absolutely phenomenal. And when you learn about yourself, you want to bring forth that energy to the world. And so it is basically like what Angles of Latitude is. it is Ron Real. It is other shows that are absolutely phenomenal. But I'm stripping, how can I say this? I'm stripping expertise off the table, because I could talk about what you love to do. The show is going to be more about who you are. Mm. You know, what makes you tick? What makes you breathe? What gives you purpose to do what you do? You know, what gives you purpose, JC, beyond being the entrepreneur and being all techie, you know? And I got a little bit into who you are, but I would be able to have the freedom to dive a little further, you know, and I wouldn't have to say, okay, I'm going to slot 10, maybe 15 minutes of this show about sports. With you, it's easy because you're a sports fan like I am. So that wouldn't be an issue. But with others, it would be. So I didn't want to go that route any longer. And so that's why Revelations has been born. And it is, as you can attest, a show where I want the human being / the human doing to shine above everything else. Mm. And in understanding that, the vehicle itself is so powerful. And when, before we started the show and you heard me say, oh my gosh, I love this, I was actually looking at the cover art of the show. So, cool. Yeah, so I was smiling when you said that. I was like, oh, I'm going to bring this up on the show. So, yeah, the covered art is done. The place for it that I'm going to host is set. Now all I got to do is have people to get on the show. And, yes, I want to have you on the show. I want to interview you again, this time for that platform, because you were such a great guest. And, gosh, and people gravitated to you, which I, one, wasn't shocked. Two, was very happy. And I just want to introduce the world to beautiful people like yourself. And have you all tell your stories the way you see fit as to how this world can be better.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, definitely look forward to seeing where that show goes. That's awesome that you're taking on that next adventure. So, good deal. Rapid fire question segment. Are you ready?
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm ready.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. All right.
Oh, man. Okay. Monday Night Football is next. I'm sorry.
Yes. Three influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you are today.
Ooh, I would have to say one of them is my wife. One of them is Michelle, because she saw something in me that I didn't. I didn't think that I had any type of talent behind the mic. She did before I even stepped onto a mic and actually spoke. So definitely Michelle. I would say my father, because I would remember sitting beside him and we'd be watching football or baseball or basketball. He would ask me what I thought. And I didn't realize that I was actually doing my own show next to my father all those years ago. And let's see, the third one, I would have to say, ooh, that one was difficult because it's a mixture. I probably have to say Brian Gumbel, because he taught me that you could be an intellectual, that you can love sports, and that you could talk about other issues without putting on different hats and being somebody different. You could be the same person and have these different interests. It's okay, it's legal, and it's allowed. So yeah, I would say those three: my father, Michelle, Brian Gumbel.
What is something you wish was still a thing?
Can I go sports with this one?
Sure.
The center position in the NBA. I wish that was still a thing. But now it's a 10 forwards league. I miss post play a lot. I miss it. I fell in love with the NBA because of Moses Malone and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and then Hakeem Olajuwon. And all the centers that came after them. And now that play's gone. I hate it.
Wasn't Rodman pretty good at rebounding?
Rodman was the best at rebounding that I've seen. And I've studied Will Chamberlain. Will Chamberlain was the best rebounder I ever saw, period. But best rebounder I ever saw while alive. Yeah. Rodman, hands down. No question. I miss that. I miss physical play in basketball. Miss it.
Yeah. If you ever got the chance to read his biography, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah,
very interesting guy. I mean, yeah, he is. And being able to be over in North Korea and all the different weird stuff that he's done over the years is interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway,
it is.
What issue do you believe people ought to be talking about? Yeah, hardly anybody is.
All right. And I'm about to go deep on you. I really believe simply that if you are not into a human being not have its rights to be on this planet, and you ignore it or you look over it and you bypass it, I find that to be a really horrible issue with that human being. And it goes to these murders that we've seen. And I've said it, legalized murders. It goes to the Terrence Crutchers and the Jordan Edwards and there's so many other names that I can mention where these individuals who were not criminals, they get gunned down and no justice is being served. You know, what is the family of that slain person to do? You know, and I think people don't talk about that at all. It's more along the lines of it's a color thing. No, it's a human thing. Mm. You know, to not invest any emotion in the fact that there is a person in their family dead and it's not their fault. They weren't caught robbing something. They weren't caught being disrespectful to anybody. They just were trying to do what they were, you know, what they were doing legally and unarmed. And all of a sudden they die. They get killed. You know, what are we supposed to do as human beings there? I mean, I my heart goes out to all of them, and it has nothing to do with the skin color. My heart just goes out to them because I couldn't imagine, and I don't have a son, but I couldn't imagine my nephew having to deal with that. And he's 19 now. I couldn't imagine that. It would hurt my soul, you know, because I wouldn't know what to do because, you know, I get to hug him 1 minute and then I have to hug his tombstone the next. The humanity aspect of this is not talked about, and that upsets me to no end.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to me that the flyby media will go about making it always a color situation.
Yeah.
Whereas it's just it's honestly more of a general respect of, you know, I think last year was the whole Black Lives Matter versus the All Lives Matter sort of thing.
Right.
I understand where, you know, Black Lives Matter was coming from. Mm-hmm. I also understand where the All Lives Matter folks were coming from when you put it into the correct context.
Right.
And it's too bad that confrontation between those two groups even existed because,
right,
for the most part, they wanted the same things. It's just that one, you know, side just felt that it was a color situation where it really wasn't. Because I mean,
yeah, and even that is misconstrued a little because you have those who's in the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement. You have those who fight on behalf of a color, whereas really it was created from the standpoint of, wait a minute, you have all of these other cultures that if, for example, you have a militia that's out in I think it was Arizona, and they're having guns drawn on law enforcement because they're trespassing on the militia's property. The law enforcement leaves. You know, you have that. There's no gunplay. There's no gunfight. You know, you have that. You have that respect there. You have the respect of other cultures. But with certain individuals, you don't have that respect for them. And so people misunderstood and misapplied along with misunderstanding that when you see Black Lives Matter, it's like, okay, they want to attack. No, not attack, but they want to apply a word only afterwards. And it's not supposed to be Black Lives Matter only. It's supposed to be Black Lives Matter 2, T-O-O. Mm. You know, and it got, and because of the anger and the poison that is dropped into when these situations happen, you forget that, okay, well, it can't be any more well, we want to eradicate all of you, and then that's the only way we can exist. No, it is, we're supposed to all exist, but we want to bring forth to you, government, that we matter too. We don't, we're human beings too. You know, just because the skin color is dark, we matter too, because we're human beings just like you are. So here's this plea of humanity that got turned on its ear as a Black Power manifesto. And of course, the images of Black Panthers and all that. And of course, that was also a human movement too, that got misconstrued and misapplied as well. Here's this cry of humanity saying, we matter. We love you guys. We want to contribute as powerful to this society as you do. But it gets turned around as, okay, you just want to actually invoke superiority over us, and we can't have that. And that is damaging. To not want to listen to a side is absolutely damaging on any issue, and with any human being, it is damaging.
Yeah, and that's what you see a lot of today. And thank you, Facebook, for making silos of opinion and knowledge. Just anyway, yeah, it's big old giant topic right there all in itself.
Yeah.
What is something you believed as a 30-year-old that you'd now tell yourself is completely inaccurate, and why?
What did I believe at 30 that's completely inaccurate? Let me see. That the Astros are horrible? No, I'm just joking. What did I believe was accurate at 30? You know, I believed that I wouldn't be able to be happy. I really believed that at 30, I wasn't going to be happy. And the reason why I say that is I was going through life, and my father actually has this saying that I love so much. And he didn't say it directed toward me, but I took it and internalized it, because it really was applying to me too. He said, you can't be busy making a living. You have to be busy making a life. And I wasn't busy making a life. I was busy making a living, and I was unhappy. And I thought, well, I guess this is what's all to life. You know, I am just meant to make a living, and I can't be happy, because making a living, just making money and trying to pay bills and just subsisting, this is it. This is it. And as time has gone on, I've learned, no, it is not it. And that, yes, you can be happy. That even in the such a matter we just talked about just now, even in the midst of that, I can be happy. And thank the Lord that I am. And it is a lot to do with my wife, and it's a lot to also do with getting in touch with, with God, and learning that there is a whole lot more to this world than just making money and earning a living, and that you can enjoy life. You can be a part of life. You can embrace it. And doing so actually has made me feel like I'm living life younger as I've gotten older than I did when I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
And people have looked at pictures of me at 30 and look at pictures of me now and say, oh my gosh, you look like an old man at 30. I was like, yeah, I did. Now actually look like you're younger. And it is because I've started to embrace life and live it, and actually say, you know what? I can be happy, and I'm going to be happy, and I'm going to do everything possible to make myself happy. And thus Cold Sports, thus Revelations, thus actually having a podcast production business. It's feeding my soul, and I'm actually learning how to feed my soul with the good things instead of the bad things. And what a lesson! What a lesson that I'm glad I've learned.
Awesome. So, what would you say is the? Well, I think you just explained what that is. What would you say is it mean to live a life of abundance?
Man, I wish that we were doing this interview in person, because I would hug you right now. And asking that question, I would hug you right now. Living life in abundance is firstly about tapping into the source of abundance. And for me, it is a Christian thing. It is going into loving God and loving Jesus. It is about that for me. Because what they have taught me, what these entities have taught me, and what this spiritual life has taught me is that I can go forth and put forth that wealth of what I have to bring back more wealth to me. And that wealth is, yes, it is money. Yes, it is. It is trinkets. That's part of it. But this is wealth. This is abundance. Being able to talk to someone I highly respect. Talking to someone who I can call a friend because I find what he is and who he is interesting. That feeds into abundance. Learning people who know who you are as a human being. That also is abundance. And they can lead you to the abundance of how this world sees it. All because you have the love and respect of the human beings who know you, trust you, and love you, and want to see what's good for you, and want to see you do good. That is abundance. And if you can spread that love to other people, and you keep spreading that love, man, the abundance of life that returns back to you would be almost like a tidal wave. You know, so living life in abundance. If I were to say to you that I wouldn't picture myself in a big house with a wonderful car and having a life where I don't have to go to work is not what I envision, I'd be lying to your face. Yes, I want that. Yes, I'm striving for that. Yes, I will get that. But I don't want to have all of that and be empty either. I want to have all of that and also have the ability to be with a Chris Ripka, to be with a Lynn Brunette, to be with a Scott Disette, to be with those who I've learned now in my other circles, the Between Us Girls and Dee Murph and those people, and to be with a JC Preston and just be happy. And I can pour into them, whether it is a conversation, whether it is money, because you are a businessman. You know, if I can invest in your business and I had the means and the wherewithal to do it, I would love to do it. Because I would get a thrill out of being able to provide a better life for you. All just from being at a place of abundance. So that is what I am striving for. I want to have a life of abundance. I want to live a life of abundance. And it ties into what I didn't believe was possible at 30 and what I believe is possible now. I didn't think I could live the life of abundance at 30. But I know I can, and I'm striving for it, and I'm going to get there.
Awesome. So definitely want to say kind of a thing right here is that definitely appreciate you and everything, again, that you've been able to help so many of those people with the community with. I'm sure that, you know, as much as you appreciate them, we appreciate you. So.
Thank you.
I just want to go ahead and say that right there.
Thank you.
But as we're closing today, what are a few steps that someone can take today to start living a life that they're proud of?
Well, the first step is to, well, for me, to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's the first step. The other four, walk to a mirror, look at yourself. I don't care if you're fat or skinny. I don't care if you're tall or short. I don't care if you're a man or woman. Look at yourself and understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are beautiful as you are. You are gorgeous as you are. You are attractive as you are. You have something to give to this world as you are. And settle within that, that you don't have to go to any doctor to change. You don't have to go to a psychiatrist to change. All you have to do is just accept who you are and love who you are, because there's others who want to love who you are too. And then from there, it is pour on other people. Love on other people. Contribute to other people's well-being. Because the love that you will get in return is something that you could never imagine blessing you. Because that will make you rich. And then do what you love to do. Do what makes you happy. That's legal, by the way. Do what makes you happy. You know, do what feeds your soul. Because on this earth, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to feed ourselves. We're supposed to feed ourselves happiness. We're supposed to walk around happy. We're supposed to be bonded to one another and be at one with everybody, no matter how light or dark the shade of skin. And then after that, live your best life by doing what you love. Make that a business. Make that a business, because you're not meant to be on this earth to make other people money. You're not built on this earth to make other people money. You're built on this earth not only just to make yourself money, but you're built on this earth to make yourself money and to contribute to wherever you're needed. And you can't do that, quite frankly, being at a job, slaving 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, no matter how well you're paid. No, you're meant to do that being free. And that is how you can live your best life. You're meant to be free. You're meant to sprout your wings and fly and contribute to other people's lives, because others would want to contribute to your life because you have that heart to give.
Excellent. Cole, where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
All right. Well, on social medias everywhere, it is Cole Sports with a Z. That is Cole Sports with a Z, outside of Twitter, which is Cole _ Sports with a Z. But ultimately, you can find me at ColeSportsWithAZ.com. That's ColeSportsWithAZ.com. And you'll be able to check out my new show as well, Revelations. And I don't have a platform for it yet, but that is soon upcoming. Revelations, I look forward to having you all listen to that as well. And if you want to really find out where I am, you can just go to ColeSportsWithAZ.com, or you can email me at info@ColeSportsWithAZ.com. I'd be glad to take on whatever you have and whatever business you may have, audio businesses as well. Come on down, info@ColeSportsWithAZ.com. And I will be glad to have a conversation with you.
All right. And you can also be found at the PDC, as we discussed earlier.
Yes. And I can also be found at the Podcast Discovery Center too. Yes.
All right. Well, Cole, definitely a pleasure having you on, man. A lot of insightful conversation going on here. Wow. Really brought it today. So thank you so much.
Oh, man. Thank you, JC. I appreciate you and all of what you've done. Thank you so much.
Have it, guys. Wow. You know, what a great interview with Cole, and definitely a deep thinker. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about his new show of his, again, called Revelations. You know, it sounds like it's going to be a good one that I'll definitely be subscribing to. And as far as today's show note extras, yeah, I called them video extras in the beginning, but the show note extras, you can check them out. And the other show notes via newinceptions.com/98. First video I have is the one that I mentioned of Ira Glass, where, you know, he talks about being able to meet your own expectations. You know, it's called The Gap. And just in case you haven't seen it before, which I've mentioned it several times on the show, I'm going to put it there first thing.
in the show note extras. You know, it's a great short piece that I think all creatives need to think about from time to time. The second video is a streamed podcast with past guest CJ Ripka and host Drew Carson. After that, there's also another interview with Cole talking about his upcoming show Revelations, amongst other things, with Kwame Corbett. I believe that's how you say his name. And, you know, Kwame is actually another member of the PDC family and was actually just brought up to moderation status up in that group. So congratulations to him for, you know, making the move there. And finally, the last video of this session is one where Scott Doucette interviewed Cole on his podcast called Podcast Bay. And, you know, I thought that this would be cool to bring in because, as you might know, I've been on both of their shows as a guest as well. So I just wanted to give Scott a bit more credit for helping us all meet. So I think out of our conversation today and these other videos that you'll get the understanding of Cole's work and what he's truly all about. So that said, pretty much wraps things up today. Thanks again for joining us, and I really appreciate that you know, took the time to listen to two podcasters riffing a bit today. Just like I said at the beginning of the show, let us know how you like it. Reviews on iTunes are always great, and if you're using the podcast app on your iPhone, like I know that many of you are, again, simply hit the reviews tab and add your own review there. Or if you're listening to us on your desktop, you can visit newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes. And those of you who aren't using iTunes, feel free to leave your reviews wherever you're listening to them on, but especially SoundCloud. Love seeing those comments over there as well. Have any questions about a particular guest or comments on the show itself, you can send us an email via heyguys@newinceptions.com. And don't forget, if you want to connect with Cole directly or any of our past guests, current listeners, or co-hosts of the show, you can go to AOL Networking Group on Facebook. And you can go directly to it by visiting the URL newinceptions.com/AOL networking. So, in next week's show, just a little bit of a preview in case you've never made it this far in the podcast, I do have another solo session with another big fan of Pat Flynn's, and his name is Tyler Philbrick. I first met Tyler through a Ask Pat Q&A streaming session and quickly learned that, you know, the things that he learned from Pat were actually quite different than my own. You know, where I tended to focus more on podcasting and building a website, Tyler ended up focusing more on selling through Amazon. And, you know, we kind of started the conversation from there, and I was like, dude, you really know a lot of stuff about how to sell in there. And he's like, yeah, I do, because guess what? I'm going to be living my day job before too long and be able to pursue this full time, amongst other things. So, you know, I wanted to get him on just as he was doing that, and so it was still fresh in his mind. And, you know, so that's one of the things that we talk about a bit. But we really get into some gritty details of how he was able to get there, and some pointers for people who are just starting to get into retail arbitrage. So make sure that you're informed when that session does go out. All you have to do is like the New Inceptions page on Facebook, and then underneath the following tab, just select See First. And that's, of course, how you'll see all the publications in the future. So again, that's it for session 98. And again, if you haven't taken the time to do so, go check out Fizzle at newinceptions.com/FIZZLE, newinceptions.com/Fizzle. And yeah, again, thank you for joining Cole and myself again today. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.